Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. I would like to read from 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I encourage everybody to please get a Bible or Bibles on the pews there. Please get a Bible and look at the Word of God as I try to read from the Word of God and we try to study from God's Holy Word from 1 Samuel chapter 25. This chapter of the Bible talks about an occasion where David and his army was needing food, and a man by the name of Nabal refused to give him food. And David was going to go and kill Nabal and the other people that were there with Nabal, because David had been protecting and taking care of Nabal. And so Nabal had a wife whose name was Abigail. Abigail was a very godly and very spiritual and a very wise woman. And when David was on his way to kill Nabal, Abigail intervened in behalf of her husband and began to cry to David to spare Nabal's life. She fell down. She practically worshiped David as she pled for the life of Nabal. She acknowledged that Nabal had done wrong. She acknowledged that he did not deserve to live. But she also told David, basically, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if you go and kill Nabal, then you've shed blood that you should not have shed. And she was telling him, leave it in the hands of God. And that's a very important lesson for all of us to remember, that when somebody has done us wrong, when somebody has mistreated us in any way, that you need to always remember that God is aware of that. God knows all about it. And you need to remember that God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And leave it in the hands of the Lord. So may God help us to always do that. But I want to read now from 1 Samuel chapter 25. I first want to read verses 14 through 17 and then come down to verse 28. 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, but one of the young men, that is one of the young men that was a soldier or a man with Nabal, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on him. That is, Nabal railed on David. He began to mock and make fun of David and to rebuke David. But the men were very good unto us, that is, he's saying David's men were good to Nabal and our men. The men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and by day, all the while that we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. You hear that? He's such a man of Belial that a man can't speak to him. That may be what we study tonight, but that's not the main thing on my heart this morning. There are some men, there are some women, there are some people that they are so hard-headed you can't even talk to them. Did you know that? That was the kind of man that Nabal was. He says, he's such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Now, come down to verse 28, because what this man was saying was, I've tried to talk to Nabal. I can't talk to Nabal. I can't make any difference in his life. And so I'm asking you, Abigail, I'm asking you somehow to intervene between David and Nabal. Verse 28 says, this is where Abigail is now talking to David. And Abigail says to David, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. Now, you might think of that in two different ways. You might think of the fact that Abigail and Nabal were husband and wife. And as husband and wife, they were one flesh. And so she felt like that, David, I'm asking you to forgive me. And in forgiving me, I'm asking you to forgive my husband. Another way you can look at that is that Abigail didn't feel worthy to go to David And yet she's saying now, you forgive me. You forgive me for coming to you and being so pretentious as to come and talk to you about this problem. She says in verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. I want you to hear very carefully what Abigail said to David. Abigail was telling David, now, you don't need to worry about Nabal. Nabal is no problem to you. And God is going to make your house a sure house. God's going to protect your house. God's going to bless your house. David had already been anointed as king. Now, he was not yet reigning as king, but Abigail knew that he had been anointed as king and chosen by God to be the king. And so Abigail was saying, now, you don't need to worry about Nabal. You're going to be the king of Israel. And so she says, and also notice this. She says that the Lord will certainly make my Lord, that is David, a sure house because. Now, there were two reasons that Abigail said God is going to bless you on the throne. There are two reasons that God is going to bless you and your house. One of the two reasons that Abigail talks about in verse 28, there are two things she says are the reasons that God is going to bless David's house. Because, number one, my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. Now that first my Lord, you see that little L, that's talking about David. That was the way they talked about people in that day. My Lord, David, you have fought the battles of the Lord. Had David been doing that? He'd been a great soldier in literally fighting battles. Now what's the lesson for us today? Though we might not be in Iran or Iraq, us personally in this building, there is a war going on in America today. And there's a battle for us to fight. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And if you want God to bless your house, it's important that you do what David did, the two things that he did. The first thing he did was he fought the battles of the Lord. You know, I had a minister call me this past week. He was very upset about an article in another publication, and he was just all upset wanting me to do something about this article. And I said, first of all, you're wrong to be taking that publication because they've already made their position clear for years. And I said, but if you want to get together a group of preachers and try to take a stand about the false doctrines that are being promoted, I'll be glad to meet with you. He said, oh, I don't want a war, and I don't want us to get in any conflict. I just want you to fix the problem. Now listen, brethren, that's crazy to think. As the people of God, we think that we can just back up, not have any conflict, and not have any battles, but be serving the Lord. You can't serve the Lord without being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's work for us to do. There are stands for us to take. The reason America is in the condition that she's in today is because the people of God have not been doing like David. We have not been fighting the battles of the Lord. We've been fighting each other. And that's what's causing a great decline among the people of God today, is that we're not taking the stands we ought to be taking against false doctrine and false practices and ungodliness in America and in the church. What were the two reasons that Abigail said that God was going to bless David's house? You have been fighting the battles of the Lord. And then she said something else. He says, because thou fightest the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Up until this point in David's life, there was nothing, there was no charge that could be brought against David. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You have fought the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thy life all thy days. Now, he did mess up later, but at this point in time, it could be said that God would still say at this point about David, that David did not depart from anything God commanded him. That could still be said right here. So what could Abigail say about David? God's going to bless you and bless your house. You don't need to worry about Nabal, because God is going to bless you and bless your house because you have fought the battles of the Lord and evil is not found in your life. Now, brethren, I want to tell everybody here that I can say the same thing to you. if you're fighting the battles of the Lord, and if you are not allowing evil to come in your life, if you're fleeing from evil and shunning evil, and you're getting rid of evil, I can tell you God's going to bless your house. Now what's the next thing he says? Come to verse 29, she says. She says in verse 29, yet a man, now who is the man that she's talking about? Yet a man is risen against thee. That was Nabal, her husband. She says in verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. Now I want you to listen carefully. This is the main thought that's on my heart this morning. She says that a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Now those are two beautiful expressions. The first expression is that she's saying, David, your soul is bound in the bundle of life. Do you hear that expression there? Your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. That's the first thing. Your soul is bound in the bundle of life. Isn't that a beautiful expression? It's amazing. I can read the Bible through over and over and over again. You can read the Bible through so many times and never see a statement as beautiful as this where Abigail said, your soul is bound in the bundle of life. Isn't that beautiful? I might, as I try to proceed with trying to preach about our soul being bound in the bundle of life, I might misspeak, and I might say that your soul is bound in the bundle of love. But did you know there's no truth, no difference in saying that your soul is bound in the bundle of life and your soul is bound in the bundle of love? There's not a major difference. There is a difference, but I want you to know that your soul, I want you to know that your soul eternally, I want to first consider eternally. I want every child of God here to know that your soul eternally is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. You hear that expression? All that's part of one expression. She's telling David, your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Brethren, that causes great joy to flood my soul to know that in an eternal sense that nothing can separate even one of God's children from the love of God. Do you know why nothing can separate us from the love of God? It's because we are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are kept by the power of God. The Word of God says that we are hid in Christ Jesus with God. We're hid. You know what all of that boils down to? What's the expression right here? Your soul is bound in the what? In the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. And I know that you all know most of these scriptures by heart, but I want you to just know that there's a great joy that we ought to have that our soul is bound eternally. It's bound in the bundle of life. It's bound in the bundle of love. In Romans chapter 8, I want to begin with verse 28. I want to read Romans 8, 28 through 30. I want you to see the eternal security of God's people. Do you know who Jesus Christ came into the world to save? The Word of God tells us that the angel spoke to Joseph and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Brethren, my heart rejoices to know that Jesus accomplished what he came to do. I'm glad to know that my soul and your soul and the soul of all the people of God, a people so great that no man can number, I'm glad to know that our body, soul, and spirit are in Christ forever, that we're preserved in Christ, that we're bound in the bundle of life by the power of God. We're in the hand of Jesus. And Jesus says, nobody can pluck even one out of my hand. And we're in the hand of the Father. And He says, and no man can pluck us out of the hand of the Father. You know why? It's because we're bound. You see that wrapping up that God does for us. I'm so glad to know that I'm not going to be in heaven one day because I have held on to God, but I'm going to be in heaven when this world is over because God is holding on to me. I'm not going to be in eternal heaven because of my works, but I'm going to be in eternal heaven because of the works that God has done for me. Our eternal salvation is not by our works, not according to our works, not of our works. It's all the work of God. It's all the grace of God. I'm bound, the Word of God says. I'm bound, body, soul, and spirit. I'm bound in the bundle of what? Bound in the bundle of life. Just all wrapped up in that bundle of life. Sometimes my mama calls me her bundle of love, so that's the reason I might get those phrases mixed up. Sometimes you talk a lot about a little child, you say, you know, that's a bundle of joy, isn't it? Little children, sometimes they're a bundle of joy. Well, this expression is prettier than a bundle of joy. It's more beautiful and more wonderful than a bundle of love. It is a bundle of love, but we're bound in the in not just a bundle of life. The Word of God is very specific here and says that we are bound, our soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. God's the one that's got us all bound up. You know, one day Jesus is going to present this package, this bundle. One day Jesus is going to present that bundle to the Father. He's going to say, here are my brothers and here are my sisters. And not one of them is lost. Not one is lost. Eternally speaking, nothing can separate us from the love of God because we're bound in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. Look in your Bibles now at Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. The Word of God says in Romans 8, 28, and we know, brethren, if David had been thinking about this, he wouldn't have ever been running after Nabal. Did you know that? If David had just been thinking about this one truth, if you and I will think about this truth, it'll help settle us down and know we don't have to get even with anybody for anything. The Word of God says in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Now that's not the end of that statement. That's all many people quote, is that all things work together for good. But the Word of God says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, who is it that's called us? And brethren, there's two calls taught in the Word of God. One's a gospel call, and one's the effectual call. And this is talking about the effectual call, that God calls us from death unto life. And so He says in verse 29, for whom? You notice that? For whom? That is the people that He chose before the foundation of the world. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Did you know there are some people that don't like to hear or talk about predestination? Did you know that? Well, you just have to run from what God's Word says if you don't want to talk about predestination. Whom He did foreknow, that foreknow means forelove. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Who did He call? Who did He call? Did He call everybody in this world? No. He called those who were predestinated. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Do you know when you were justified? Somebody tell me, when were you justified? Somebody tell me, when were you justified? Okay, we're justified in God. When we just, yes, that's right. We were justified at the cross of Calvary. That's when we were made clean. That's when we were justified. By His death, burial, and resurrection, we were justified. Who was justified? Were all people in this world justified? Brethren, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says here, those that He predestinated, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What's the next verse say? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Brethren, if you are bound in that bundle of life, who can separate you from the love of God? That's what He comes down at the end of this chapter and says in verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded. He says in verse 28, I know, we know. In verse 38, He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see that bundle? Do you see that you're bound? You're bound in that bundle of life with the Lord your God. Does that give your soul peace to know you're safe and secure and that the devil and all of his angels, that nothing can separate you from the love of God? It causes me to have wonderful peace and joy. Now, that's not really what Abigail is talking about. That's the truth in God's Word, okay? That's the truth in God's Word. Eternal security is the truth in God's Word that I wanted to think about us being bound in the bundle of love eternally, bundle of life eternally. But I want you to go back and look again at 1 Samuel 25. There's something else that's under consideration here. When Abigail tells David, thy soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, she's not talking about eternal security. What is Abigail talking about when she says, thy soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord our God? What is Abigail telling David? She's telling David, you don't need to worry about Nabal. Your life is secure. Nabal is not a threat to you, and you don't have to be going out killing Nabal or doing anything against Nabal, because God will handle this matter. And so he says, your life, your soul, is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. I want you to notice that. Why was his soul bound? Because he had done two things. His soul was bound. Listen, brethren, eternally speaking, you don't do anything to be bound in the bundle of life. But as far as your daily, day-by-day experiences in this world, in order for you to be bound in the bundle of life, in order for God to protect you and your household and our nation, we have to do two things. We have to fight the battles of the Lord, and we have to keep ourselves from evil. Those are the two things David did, and it was because of those two things that Abigail can say, your house is safe, your house is sure, and you are bound, your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Do you see and understand that Abigail was not talking about eternal security right here? Though the Word of God teaches that. That's not what she was talking about. What she was talking about is, don't you worry about what's fixing to happen with Nabal. I'm glad that I'm eternally secure, but I'm also glad and I'm thankful to God that I know, listen brethren, I know that my life is in the hands of God. Your life is in the hand of God. The devil can't take your life. Did you know that?
Amen.
Amen is right, sister. Good gracious. How people can just sit and not get excited about the Word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm glad. You know, David, there in this passage of Scripture, David let anger just get hold of his life, didn't he? He wanted to get even with Nabal. He wanted to fix Nabal so Nabal could never hurt him again. But what Abigail said was, David, just calm down. Your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. And no matter what the enemies of God do against you, whenever you do what's right, you're going to have enemies of God. Enemies of God, they're your enemies too. Do you understand? When you try to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have enemies. And those enemies are going to try to do everything they can to destroy your life. But you know what you need to remember? You need to memorize this expression right here. My soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord my God. As long as I fight the battles of the Lord and I keep myself from evil, My soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord my God. Isn't that a great blessing? I almost shouted so loud. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Let me tell you something, brethren. God's been good to me. And God's been good to you. Every one of us. God's been so good to us. Sister Valerie, isn't that good? Your soul, body, soul, it's bound. It's bound in the bundle of life. Can the devil bring sickness in our lives? Yes, he can. But you know the devil can't take our lives? And he can't even bring sickness unless God allows it. When God allows it, it's for our good and His glory. And if we'll just be faithful to God and keep looking to God and trusting in God, God will take care of you. Because your soul and your body and your spirit are bound in the bundle of love. And bound in the bundle of life. Bound in the bundle of love. Go with me to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 34 and listen to what the Word of God says in Psalm 34. Listen. Some of these scriptures, I know that they're applied to Jesus Christ, but they also apply to all of God's people who are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 34, I want you to notice verse 7. Psalm 34, verse 7. Psalm 34 and verse 7, the Word of God says, The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. Now you know what you're going to do if you fear God. You're going to be fighting the battles of the Lord. And what else are you going to be doing? You're going to be shunning evil. What did David do? He fought the battles of the Lord and he kept himself from evil. And so what does the Word of God say here? The Word of God says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about. What picture do you get there? Do you see that bundle of life there? You remember Elisha and his servant when the Syrian army had them surrounded. And you remember how the servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do? What are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes." And he opened his eyes and he saw horses and chariots of fire round about them. Brethren, Elisha and his servant knew something about being bound in the bundle of life. They knew something about the power of God in protecting God's people. They knew that armies and sickness and problems and trouble, they cannot destroy God's people if they're fighting the battles of the Lord and if they're fearing the Lord and keeping themselves from evil. Oh, you might say, "Oh, what about Stephen?" They didn't get Stephen, brethren. Oh, no, no. What a way to go. I'd love to go like that. I would love to be so faithful to God that people, the world, the enemies of God, hated me so much that they would kill me. But here's what I would like. I would like to be so faithful to God that while they were killing me, that I could be praying for my enemies. Now that's marvelous. That's a miracle. Oh man, his soul was bound in the bundle of life right there. And then Stephen, while they were stoning him to death and he was praying for his enemies, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh, brethren, what about his soul? Was it bound in the bundle of life? Oh, when he left this world, brethren, he just went on up to be with the Lord. What a marvelous thing to be bound in the bundle of life. Every day. See, I'm not just talking about eternally. I'm talking about day by day, by day, by day. If you're alive tomorrow, it'll be because God kept you alive. Because you're bound up in the bundle of life. And the wonderful thing, if you're not alive tomorrow, you're still going to be bound up in the bundle of life. You're going to go right home to be with the Lord. The Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. Your soul is bound in the bundle of life. Boy, that's a package that's just as... It's the best package in all the world. To be bound in the bundle of life. Go with me in closing to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I encourage you to go home and read this psalm. Psalm 91 is one of the most beautiful passages in all of God's Word. My first week as a pastor, some 30 years ago, or however long ago it's been, 32 or 3 years ago, my first week when I went to Columbus, in visiting that first week of my ministry as a pastor of that church, there was an elderly lady about 90 years old that was in the hospital. And she was one of the ladies that I visited that week. When I got there, she said, "Brother Mullis, would you please read me Psalm 91? Would you read me Psalm 91? And when I started reading that psalm to her, she was repeating. She was saying the words with me. This whole 91st psalm, that dear old saint laying on her deathbed was laying there, and she quoted word for word for word every one of these verses of Scripture. She had studied the Word of God. She knew what it was to be bound in the bundle of life. She had no fear of death whatsoever, none whatsoever, because her soul was bound in the bundle of life. I want you to listen now to Psalm 91. And I'm going to read the entire psalm. I encourage you to listen carefully. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Do you see being bound in the bundle of life in that verse? In almost every one of these verses, you should be able to see being bound in the bundle of life. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Who's going to deliver you? Do you see that you're bound in the bundle of life? "He shall," verse 4 says, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler." Do you see the being bound in the bundle of life there? Verse 5 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee." You hear what he's saying? You're bound in the bundle of life. Verse 8 says, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Did you know I didn't get to that? All I got to was that bundle of life. But I want you to all remember the reward of the wicked back there. You remember what she said was going to happen to those that were ungodly? Going to slung out like they were in the middle of the sling. Who's going to sling them out? God is. Does God do that to His people when they don't fear, believe, and obey Him? Yes, He does. I'm not talking about eternally, but I'm talking about in this world, they can be slung out. David said he kept his body under subjection, lest he himself should become a what? A castaway, slung out. Verse 9, he says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." Is there a condition here? "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Is that being bound in the bundle of life? Verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he, here's what God says now. God says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. Now, brethren, God is a wonderful God. He's an omnipotent God. And He's got us bound up in the bundle of life eternally. And one day we're going to be in heaven because He kept us bound up in the bundle of life. I'm telling you, it's even more wonderful right now to think about day by day God keeps us if we fight the battles of the Lord and keep ourselves from evil God will keep you bound up in the bundle of life. May God help us to do that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.